is, assuming anybody wants to watch the show once it's finished.
Cromwell was cruising toward the belt at a more leisurely pace, allowing the radiation cloud to engulf it. The ship's 5-person crew could not feel the radiation that surrounded the ship nor see it, except in graphs the computer drew from the ship's sensors. "The shielding is working fine," the skipper kept repeating every few minutes. "They're working just fine." His 4 crew members wished he'd changed the subject. Eventually he did. "Set course 38 degrees azimuth, maintain elevation." Embedded in the radiation cloud, Cromwell headed toward Vesta.
Suddenly panicked, Pancho stabbed at the panel of buttons in the elevator. The cab lurched to a stop and the doors slid open. The pounding, growling, roaring sounds of construction immediately blasted her ears, but she paid them no attention as she walked briskly out into the unfinished expanse. She saw that she wasn't at the topmost level, the dome where there was an airlock that led to the rocket hoppers sitting outside. "Must be a rampway that leads up," she thought hopefully. "Better stay away from the elevators." A construction worker driving an orange tractor yelled at her in Japanese. Pancho couldn't understand his words, but she recognized the tone. "What the hell are you doing here? Get back where you belong." With a grin, she hollered back to him, "That's just what I'm trying to do, buddy. Which way's up?"
The head of base security was perspiring visibly. Nobuhiko glared at the black man and demanded, "Well, where is she? She has to be someplace." Yamagata had left his interrogation team in their silly green gowns and bustled off to the security chief's office, tearing off the surgical gown they had given him and throwing it angrily to the floor as his own quartet of bodyguards hastened along behind him. The security chief was standing behind his desk, flanked by a wall of display screens, most of them blank. "She was here," he said, punching a keypad on his desktop, "with Mr. Tsavo." One of the screens lit up to show Pancho and Tsavo in the bedroom. Nobu watched Pancho spill her champagne, go to the lavatory, and then the screen flared with painful brilliance. Blinking, a red afterimage burning in his eyes, Yamagata said through gritted teeth, "I don't want to know where she was. I want to know where she is now." The security chief wiped at his tearing eyes. "She must have gone up into the construction area. The surveillance cameras on those levels haven't been activated yet." Before the exasperated Yamagata could say anything, the security chief added, "I've ordered all the airlocks sealed and placed guards at all the spacesuit storage areas. She can't get outside." Nobu thought, "That's something at least. She's trapped inside the base. We'll find her then. It's only a matter of time."
"We make an unlikely invasion force," Fuchs thought, as he and his 3 crew members walked purposefully through the flowering garden towards Humphrey's mansion. "But that might be a good thing," he realized. "The more unlikely we appear, the less seriously the guys will take us. We might still have surprise on our side." Not for long, he saw. A pair of men were striding down the winding path toward them, both of them tall, broad-shouldered, and the hard-eyed look of professional security guards. They were clad in identical slate-gray tunics and slacks, not quite uniforms, but close enough. Fuchs wondered what kinds of weapons they carried.
"What are you doing here?"
the one on the left called, raising a hand to stop Fuchs and his people.
"Emergency maintenance," said Fuchs, slowing but not stopping. "What a stoppage." "We didn't get any emergency call," the other one said.
He was slightly shorter, Fuchs saw, and looked somewhat younger.
"It's registered on our board," Fuchs lied.
Stretching out an arm to point, he said, "You can see the problem from here, up on your roof." The shorter one turned almost completely around. The other glanced over his shoulder. Fuchs launched himself at the older one, ramming his head into the man's midsection. He heard a satisfying oof, and the two of them went down, Fuchs on top. Nodon kicked the man in the head, and he went limp. Getting to his feet, Fuchs saw that Amarjagal and Sanja had knocked the other one unconscious as well. Swiftly, they tied the 2 men with their own belts and dragged them into the bushes. but not before taking their guns and communicators. Fuchs looked over one of the pistols as they ran toward the mansion. Laser pistols. Fuchs remembered how the Rockrats had turned their handheld tools into makeshift weapons years ago. These were specifically designed as sidearms. Nodon held the other gun.
Stop where you are,
boomed an amplified voice.
Fuchs yelled back.
This is an emergency. Quick, we haven't a moment to lose.
The front door of the mansion opened as they raced up to it, and another pair of guards in identical slate-gray outfits, one of them a woman, stepped out, looking puzzled. What's going... Fuchs shot the man, and before she could react, Nodon shot the woman. The infrared laser beams were invisible, but Fuchs saw the smoking little circular wound in his man's forehead as he slumped to the ground.
Come on, Fuchs said, waving his crew forward.
Amarjagal and Sanja stopped long enough to take the guns from the unconscious guards. Then they stepped over their inert bodies and into the mansion's entryway.
I'm in his house, Fuchs marveled. I'm actually in Pomfrey's home.
He realized he hadn't expected to get this far. A woman in a black servant's dress came out of a door down the hall, carrying a silver tray laden with covered dishes. Fuchs rushed toward her. When she saw the gun in his hand, she gave out a frightened squeak, dropped the tray with a loud crash, and fled back into the kitchen.
Never mind her, Fuchs snarled. Find Humphreys.
Finally ending her video tour of the ship, Edith returned to her cabin. She felt tired, but decided to review what she had shot and mark the scenes for future editing. Once her face appeared on the cabin's wall screen, though, she studied it minutely for signs of aging. To her relief, she could find none. The rejuvenation therapies were still working. Then she wondered if that might not be counted against her back on Earth. They might think I'm filled with nanomachines, like Doug. That would prejudice them against me, maybe. She shrugged to herself and shut down the display. Faced with a choice between Flatlander prejudices and physical youth, she opted for youth. With a yawn, she looked toward her bed. Time for some beauty sleep, Edith said to herself, wishing that Doug were here with her.
Humphrey's mansion. The house was huge, Fuchs realized, and divided into two sections. On one side of the hallway that extended from the entrance, there seemed to be a warren of offices and laboratories. Fuchs and his crew glanced into a few of them. They were unoccupied, quiet, dark. Offices for his staff, Fuchs guessed. Empty at this time of night. Impatiently, he waved his three aides back to the hallway.
Sanja, he directed, pointing down the hall. You find that woman. She must know where Humphreys is. We'll look through the other side of the house.
Humphreys was upstairs, in the master bedroom suite, sitting at his computer desk. The war is going well, he said to himself as he studied the latest figures and battle casualties. In another couple of months, we'll have booted Astro out of the belt altogether. Yet when he turned to his intelligence department's latest assessment, his face contorted into a frown. Astro's building more ships, gearing up for a counterattack. That damn grease monkey doesn't know when she's beaten. He heard a muffled clatter from downstairs. One of the servants must have dropped something. Leaning back in his yielding desk chair, he realized that he had ordered a snack more than half an hour ago. Where the hell was it? With a shake of his head, he returned to his musings about the war. They claim Pancho's disappeared. More likely, she's down at that Nairobi base trying to get their support. And I've got a board of directors meeting coming up. They'll yell bloody murder about the P&L figures. This war is bleeding us. Yeah, but once we win it, they'll all shut up. They'll have to. His thoughts returned to Pancho, the little gutter snipe. She's building a new fleet of warships here at Selene. It makes sense to attack the factories where they're being built. But that would bring Stavanger into the war on her side. I don't want Selene coming in against the water turned off. Annoyed, Humphreys turned to see Victoria Farrar standing in the doorway to his office, wrapped in a white full-length robe, its sash cinched around her waist. Her hair was glistening wet. What? He snapped. The water turned off, she repeated, right in the middle of my shower. At that moment, the report hovering above his desk abruptly disappeared, replaced by the intense